So we are joined. We're gonna get started. But we're gonna get started. We're joined here in the media center with Ron Capps, driver of the Napa Auto Parts Dodge Charger RT. Capps, you're the defending event winner, and you've had great success at this facility in years past with four event victories and one runner-up finish. What about this facility makes it so successful for you and your car?
Well, I don't know. I've had success with different crew chiefs. Although Tobler and I, we've had a lot of wins together. There's some about this place, and I don't really have an answer other than, you know, I look around these walls and some of these pictures. You go up in the suites over there by Bruton Suite, and some of these pictures they have on the wall of the old days. And growing up, you know, of course, I read about this track they used to have here before he moved the mountain and made what he made here. But the history of this track goes way back, and getting to drive for the Snake, having Roll Leong, the Ace, every, you know, Mongoose, Tobler, all the guys that were there and raced back in the day, I've been blessed to, since my career started, to be surrounded by these heroes. And so these stories that you would, there was a lot of them that were sort of folklore that you would read about them in magazines, whether it was Drag News or it was Car Craft or Hot Rodding when I was a kid. I got to sit around and have a beer after the race was over with my legends and hear the real stories, uncut, unedited. And you can't replace that. That's I've got the best memories of just hanging, you know, we just lost Mongoose the other night. And, you know, it's very ironic that I would get these phone calls from him. And a lot of times chewing my butt on what he thought I could do better watching, and he watched everything. But it's super ironic to me how, and I said something in Chicago about John Force, the struggles he's had and what's been going on with him and his car. I just made a comment that, you know, you don't want to give up on a guy like that. I made a comment a couple months before that I got in a phone call. Well, it's funny that I'd gotten a text from Don Prudhomme out of the blue, beginning of the season, and hope he doesn't mind I share this, but he was just telling me to be careful and make sure I stick up for those that we should have respect for, no matter what they're doing on the racetrack. And in a roundabout way, I think he was just sort of talking about his end of his driving career, and I think he didn't come out and say anything. Well, then I get a phone call from Goose, who had no idea that Snake and I were talking about that. And sure enough, he said almost the same thing. And he said, you're the guy out there that needs to stick up. You know, Force has carried the sport. He might be having problems, but you're the guy that you need to carry the flag, and you need to say something. And it was just ironic at the time, because it was less than a week apart that these out of the blue comments came from those guys. So it just tells you, you know, the kind of respect I have for them, but the fact that they knew that they could say something to me, and I would understand it, and Snake didn't have to elaborate. It was enough said, and I told him, okay, got it, enough said. Same thing with Mongoose. And so to answer your question, this place just has history. It's got ghosts. It's got all the cool stuff that you hear about in the old days. It made it what it was. And so I think me having these old school guys around me has really, you know, Don Schumacher coming here years ago, you break down what Mongoose did with the sports, getting the Hot Wheels deal, look at Don Schumacher with the Wonder Bread and what he did with bringing corporate sponsors in, and they all have the same story about coming here in the old days and what it meant to come here to Bristol. So I think to answer your question the best is I just love the history, and it somehow it gives me good mojo.
So last year you won, and you sent your Wally to your dad for Father's Day, and that was a great opportunity. And you've been asked this year, you would give your Wally this year to team owner Don Schumacher. What is the significance in giving that Wally to him this year for this race?
You know, I don't give them out a whole lot unless it's something special, and Tobler and I will talk about it. And once in a while, there's a win that I feel like Tobler should have it, take it home. Because there's the Wally you get at the track, and then you can buy Wallys. And we'll usually buy one if we give one to somebody. We gave the one to my dad, and it started its own Facebook page, and my dad took it around to everybody up the Central Coast where I grew up, San Luis Obispo and Paso Robles, and all the old school drag racers. and people that had a big influence on me and helped me young in my career. So that was fun for him, because honest to God, they're so hard to get. They're such a cool thing to admire when you win that Wally, that I think everybody, and you forget that not everybody has a chance to hold one. And it's funny when you think somebody has and they get it and they go, oh my gosh, this is heavier than it looks, or this is, you know, they look at it with that same gleam, and you kind of stop yourself and think, man, I'm spoiled because I've got a lot of these, but I take them for granted sometimes, just the Wally itself. So that was fun to see people's reactions and posts. But if we were able to win this week, I'd love to give it to Don Schumacher. We've had a rough start to the season for our standards. Not by a lot of people's standards. Had a lot of cars in the final rounds and go late and some wins. But he's used to getting on his plane for his ride home with a couple Wallys and at least one, sometimes doubling up. And it's been a rough start. And he gives us everything. Listen, I've driven for the guy. This is the 13th year I drove for Don Pernod for 9 years, and I've been with Don Schumacher 13. And that's a long time in motorsports to have one owner like that. He's been like a dad to me. And he's got 7 kids with us drivers, not counting the crew chiefs, and some of them can be kids as well. So he's sort of like a dad to all of us, and you want to be that favorite son at times, and you want to, or daughter. And you want a guy like that. I don't know why he's still drag racing, to be honest. He could do anything in this world. I'm glad he does. I'm blessed to work for him. The guy could be on an island every weekend if he wanted, enjoying life, and he's so competitive. I'm so happy that he does, but he's got that competitive nature. He wants to come out and win and race, and so we should all be happy he does, but if we're lucky enough to win, it's definitely going to go to him for Father's Day.
Awesome. Bobby Bennett?
I have two questions. The first question is, do you think the reason those legends reached out to you in the way that they did is because those of us who have seen you in the sport see you as an old soul? Not saying you're old, but you relate more to the vintage and the classic stuff than just the average driver out here.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. Like I said, it's cool that I got that phone call of a lifetime when Don Pernod called me. It's true, I did hang up on him when he called me the first time, and then his wife had to call me back, because everybody imitates Snake, and when he called, hey man, this is Don Prudhomme, I was like, yeah, right, it's my buddy, it's ain't Snake calling me. So, you know, he was like a father to me, so is Don now. So I think these guys, especially Goose, I mean, I would get these phone calls almost weekly of something that I could help him with, or he wanted to vent to me, or he was just checking on what's going on out here, but he watched the sport very closely. And I don't know, I think it's mostly because I kept my mouth shut and I listened to these guys, and I didn't overstep my boundaries. I didn't talk when I wasn't supposed to. I didn't talk unless I was spoken to. When you're around these legends, you gotta know your place, especially when you're out having a beer at the end of the day and you look around, it's Richard Tharp and Beetle, Snake and Mongoose, and all around the table telling the old stories of US 131 or Bristol or something, and you're thinking to yourself, my dad would give anything to be sitting here right now. I mean, he would kill to be here, and here I am. So you got to know your place when you're around those guys, and I think I did the right thing in those times, but I would hope so. I it was neat to get those phone calls, and I'm going to miss them from Mongoose for sure. I felt like I was born about 18 or 19 years too late. I think I would have fit right in, match racing 4 or 5 times a week, and just, I almost feel like sometimes I have these dreams that I was back in that day racing Jungle Gym. I don't know. It's strange.
The second part is that those of us who grew up in the sport, and you and I grew up in about the same era, for me, just one of those top 5 on my bucket list I wanted to go to was Orange County International Raceway. Was the old Thunder Valley one of your top 5 tracks, being from the West Coast, that you just wanted to see before you died?
Yeah, and when they announced we were going to come here, I had no idea it was going to be what it is. But, reading about this place and the funny stories of making a run and having to turn almost like an off-ramp and turn right, just the stories these guys would tell about rolling in here and racing whatever night a week it was, not alone, not counting what Larry Carrier would put on for a big race, but Yeah, it was definitely one I used to read about. You know, I was blessed because here's my childhood. Central California, we would go to Baylands, or Fremont back then, and turn into Baylands, which is probably one of my all-time favorite tracks. And then I got to go to Orange County before it closed. There's a picture I posted on social media of the very last drag race at Lyons. I think I was 7 years old. My dad laid down. He was really into the cameras back then. He had a Canon, one of the first early Canons, and he took a picture and laid on the ground of me. And back then I probably thought, what is he doing? He got into artsy-fartsy kind of, you know, imaginary, like he was a camera guy. And the picture, I'm so glad he did, because it's a picture of the sky riding that day. It said Last Drag Race Alliance. And I remember being 7 years old, being there, tearing the place apart in the very last run. So I got to go to some of those historic tracks. Irwindale, my dad had an altar, and he went off the end of the track into the boulders, and it broke the front end off his car. You would read about these places out east. It just seemed like they were worlds away, which they were for me as a kid in California. So, it's fine. It was neat to finally come out here.
Top three?
I'm going to have to say yeah, because I'm here right now. Yeah, for sure.
Dan Creekmore.
Ron, so if you were blessed on Sunday with collecting the Wally, how strong will, and I can't say names all
the time. Ever thought about being a movie director, Stan?
Yeah.
You got that gimme feeling with this shot. What is your motivation? Right?
You really made him look good.
Sorry, go ahead.
How strong will our recently deceased driver cross your mind if you can be lucky enough to be the Wally winner on Sunday?
Oh, it goes without saying. I mean, I would definitely acknowledge Mongoose. He'd be mad that you did, sort of. He's that kind of guy that would be, you don't need to be mentioning my name. You don't need to be doing this. You know, if he was here, he would say that. But, you always hear about the snake because he was more involved in the sport than the Mongoose was. And when I got to shoot that movie and play Mongoose's first team owner, and I found out history on the set that day. I played Lou Bainey, who was his first team owner. He had the Yeagle. I think it's how you said it, right?
Yeagle.
And I found out that day why I was chewing him out. I was chewing his butt out because he got beat on a hole shot by Dom Perdomo in that scene. I didn't realize, because Snake and Mongoose were both on the set. And I took my wife and my daughter because Jesse Williams from Grey's Anatomy was on the set. They wanted to meet him. But I thought it was pretty cool that I found out as we were getting ready to shoot, the reason I was chewing him out in real life was because Snake, being an old painter, had learned the fumes from a front engine dragster at times, those fumes blown in your face. He used a painter's mask, or he used some type of a mask to get the... Well, Mongoose came back after that hole shot loss to Snake in that car, and he complained that his eyes got nitro in them, and that's why he lost in a hole shot. And I learned it that day. And sure enough, they told me that story. So that's why in the movie I'm chewing him out for losing on a hole shot. So it was just neat to hear those. That's another great example of those stories that you may not have heard or read about somewhere. So, of course, we have to acknowledge him. He was probably, he said it was the Mongoose and Snake. Snake said it's Snake and Mongoose. But the fact is, there may not be the Snake that we know today without what Mongoose did rolling into Hot Wheels headquarters, Mattel. And Snake will be the first to tell you that. I'm sure he would still be as successful as he was, but it wouldn't be the same. And he was not the kind of guy. He'll tell you that he was, at that time, he was not a guy that even had the imagination or the guts to go into a place like that and pitch a deal like McEwen did. So it was just a perfect scenario, those two.